Okay, proactive, and enhance the chances of resolution, give the other side documentation they need, monitor the case posture, inform your client, be flexible about meeting, and be trustworthy. When I give every year I give a speech about the practice of law to the incoming lawyers, and I say, look, they say, well, I'm terrified. How do I get work in the door? Well, I didn't invent this phrase. Alan Hill told me when, you know, I was a prosecutor for 2.5 years with State Bar, then I was with 7 years with a small firm, and I got all my board certifications in both appellate and civil trial law because I tried so many cases. Then I was recruited by a big New York law firm, and I hated that after 2 years. And then for the next 25 years, practiced with the four people. But I was terrified when we started that practice in 1989. But Alan Hill told me, you're not going to have any trouble getting work in the door if you'll just get the work out the door. In other words, do what you say. Who do you like to do business with? If I call Franklin, I say, would you get that contract over with me by Wednesday? He said, it'll be there. That's who I like to do business with. If you know, there are people in your community that you all know, and when you see them on the other side of the case, you will say to your legal assistant, we're going to be doing every document in this case. Because sadly, that lawyer is going to have horrible things happen to him. His fifth grandparent's going to die. His dog's going to be run over. And everything. Always have excuses. I don't want to refer anything to a lawyer who will not obey the deadlines that we set with each other. Am I right? Don't you like doing business with people who do so? Get work out the door, and you'll have no trouble getting work in the door.
But Wednesday comes, and we don't have... But Wednesday hasn't over, but we haven't had a chance to get the contract done. So who in here has never had to ask for an extension?
Nobody. We've all had to have.
Exactly. So one thing Claude and I talk about is, if you can't get it done by Wednesday, at least by Wednesday, even Tuesday, say, hey, Claude, it's Franklin. I thought I was going to get this done by Wednesday. I'm going to probably need till Friday. But always, people say it's a Band-Aid, whatever. People don't like doing it either. I have to eat a lot of crow a lot of times. I think I'm going to get so much done this week. My planner is full. And then I'm like, why is my next week full? Oh, I took all this stuff from the prior week and I put it on the next week. Yeah. That happens. We overcommit ourselves. But nevertheless, government attorney, private practice attorney, I need an extension because I'm going to get this order to you. I'm going to get this discovery to you. It doesn't come. Just let them know. Pick up the phone. If they don't leave a voicemail, then send up a follow-up email. But that way, at least you've reached out and let them know, hey, I care. I'm not blowing off this deadline or intentionally not sending it to you.
Okay, I got to give you this story from the famous professor of American history, Lewis Gould, who is this incredible professor at the University of Texas that I took way back, I guess, during the Eisenhower administration, whenever I went to court. And he used to say, he would say, you know, first week of class, it was always like the first week in the right after Labor Day, right? And he said, now, this is whatever, American history 315L. Everyone in this class is going to have a 10-page term paper due on December 5th. Nothing will get you out of that term paper. Nothing. So I'm just telling you, the best advice I can give you now in September is take really good care of your grandparents over Thanksgiving, because they have a tendency to die. So, and that's not going to get you out of the paper. All right. Let's go on, and here we are, handling confidential information. What is it? It's both privileged information and unprivileged that you gain from the client. So the privilege deals with the matter that you're handling. Unprivileged might mean other things, that person's, you know, financial situation, the fact that he may owe taxes, the fact that he may have been having an extramarital affair. That's unprivileged, but that stuff is still covered by your duty to shut up. All right, unprivileged means all information relating to the client or furnished by the client other than privileged information acquired by the lawyer, and you have to do it. How can you use confidential information unless it's covered? You shall not knowingly reveal confidential information, use confidential information to the or a former client to the disadvantage. Now, look at that last, I'm sorry this came out so small, but the last line says, or the confidential information has become generally known. Now, that is misunderstood. That means, well, if it was in the newspaper, I can go brag about it now. No, you still have to hush about it. You don't have to deny it anymore if somebody says, well, it was in the paper. You don't have to pretend like it's not true, but you can't tout it just because it's in the paper. So even if it's become known, you still are supposed to keep information. All right. Bottom line, use of any confidential information requires consent, except in the case of an exception. You know that if your client says, I'm going to go kill my wife or something like that, and you, in your mind, you form a good faith impression that they're serious about that, you can try to stop that. Hearings involving unrepresented parties. By the way, the two new disciplinary rules also say if you are worried about a client taking his or her own life, you are allowed to reach out to a trusted person. You don't have to do anything. You can't be in trouble with the grievance committee if you don't. But if you really form a good faith impression that this person is in danger of death by suicide, you are now allowed to reach out to somebody who you believe is trusted in their life to try to stop that. Okay, hearings involving unrepresented parties. Okay, you take it. What do you want to... Oop, can I do that? Yes. Dealing with a pro se party.
Okay, so who here has ever dealt with somebody representing themselves? Fair number of hands, fair number of government attorneys. And I'm going to talk about this a little more later, specifically with the admin law. But I do think there is a higher bar, so to speak, as an attorney when you're dealing with a pro se litigant. Some people might disagree with me, but I always look at it, what would that ALJ say? What would a judge say when you're talking to this pro se litigant and how you're interacting with them? You know, if they ask you questions like, well, what are you going to do? You know, what we learned in law school, or maybe it was my first year of law practice, I can't remember, is the only advice I can give you is to seek legal advice. But you can say, I am planning to, you know, revoke your permit, revoke your license. That's what I'm planning to do. Do I need to show up at the hearing, they ask you? Again, you're the department attorney, for example. You can say, I think if you don't show up, I'm going to seek a default judgment.